We come this morning to one of the most sacred times in our lives when we remember the Lord's Supper. And we think about what Christ Jesus has given us, what he's bestowed upon us, what he's done for us in our life. A time to reflect back in our life and just see what he's done and how we're living. And the Bible says if there's something that we need to confess and something that we need to get right with God, we ought to do it before we take of the Lord's Supper. So I want you to think about that as we talk about this morning, the remembrance of him. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 24. It says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, today we thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, as we come this morning, that we can just remember what you've done for us. Lord, I thank you for my life. I thank you, Lord, for my family. Lord, I thank you for this church and the people. And Lord, we pray that you'll continue to bless and guide. All of these things we pray in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I think we need to always look back at what Christ has done in our life. When I think about the Lord's Supper, it reminds me to ask the question, what do we see when we look back at it? What do we remember about Jesus Christ? I'm reminded that he died for me. I was lost. I was undone in my life. I needed a Savior. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says, so loved the world, so loved you. Put your name in there. For God so loved Byron Jones or whatever your name might be. God so loved you that he gave his only son to die, that we might have life. You see, all of us have sinned. That's what the Bible says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means all of us need a Savior. And the only way that we can have that perfect sacrifice is that God sent his Son into the world. Before the foundation of the world, God knew this day would happen. God knew that we would be here. Just think about that. Isn't that awesome? We have an awesome God, a loving God. Jesus came and died for our sins that we might have life. Jesus did not die for any sin that he committed, but the sins that we have committed. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful that God died for me, because otherwise I could never have eternal life. Now, we all know that as Christians, we are to hold Christ in high esteem. And people look at our lives, and they want to see if we really live what we say we live. And the only way we can live like Christians is through the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. If you're looking at my life to be perfect, and you follow me around every day, it won't take you long to see that I'm just like you are. I fall short of the glory of God. I do things sometimes that are displeasing. We're not perfect, are we? I'm not perfect, and I know you're not perfect. The only perfect one was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you followed him around all day long, you would see that he was perfect in all his ways. He was the sinless, the Bible says, the sinless Son of God. And when he died for our sins, not his sins. Now, I've known some wonderful people who have done some wonderful things in this world. I've watched people in this church take care of one another. I've watched people in this church pray for one another. I've watched people in this church care for the sick and hospital visitation. I've seen people in this church giving of their income to others that they might make it through the month. I've seen people go and buy medicine for the elderly that they might have their medicine paid. But let me tell you something. No one has ever loved you and I more than Jesus Christ. For Jesus died for our sins. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 verse 5 that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Someone sang at our last his Sunday singing, I believe it, that Jesus drew the tree that his son would die on for our sins. And after that song was sung, someone come to me and said, you know, I've never thought of it that way. That God knew and grew that old rugged cross that his son would eventually die for our sins on. And yet, he grew it anyhow. And yet, he sent his son anyhow. And when I look back, I want you to know this morning that Jesus died for you and I. That's the reason he says, when you do this, when you take of this supper, you remember what I've done. And I think this is a great time just to say, Lord, this week, has my life been pleasing to you? Lord, this month, where have I failed? Where have I come up short? And you look back into your life, and you see those things, and right now you reflect on them and say, Lord, I want you to forgive me of those things that have been displeasing in my life. I want to claim the blood of Jesus Christ over my life. We need to not only look backward, but the Bible says we are to look inward, inside. God's word teaches that there's some serious consequences to coming to the Lord's table and partaking of the Lord's table unworthily. Now, that means that if there's something in your life this morning that is displeasing to God, there's something in your life that you've done that maybe only you and God know about it, but yet you know it's there. He's convicted you of it. Now is the time. You see, Paul was addressing his remarks in Corinthians to the Corinthian Christians here, and the Corinthian church and the people of that church had lived recklessly in their lives. In verse 18, he talks about a divided church. In 19, he's talking about heresies of the church. In verse 20, he's talking about the practicing of self-deception in the church. And 21, indulging in selfishness and guilty of drunkenness, neglect of the needs of the poor, and the carelessness of protecting the sanctity of the church itself. And Paul warns them, if you've done these things, you need to get your life right. You don't come to the table with unworthy life. Now, folks, it's a serious thing when we reflect on what Jesus Christ says. We are not to come with any known sin in our life. So if there's something in your life, this is a good time to reflect on the inward self and say, Lord, is there something displeasing inside my life that I need to reflect on and confess? Is there something there? You see, if we don't do that, then we're guilty of two things. It says the Lord's death. In other words, it insults our Lord and Savior to come to His supper in remembrance of what He's done for us with sin in our life. We just don't do that. It offends the Savior who died for us when we come to the table unworthily. It simply counts His death as meaningless when we do something like that. So this morning, as you look backward and as you look inward, is there something there in your life that you need to get right? You see, Christ saw the Corinthians. He saw their sins so deadly that He died for them. And yet they were coming to the table with these known sins in their life and acknowledging His death. And to them, they were saying, well, you know, it's not that important. But the Lord says, yes, it is important. That is the reason some of you are sick, He says. And that's the reason some of you sleep, in other words, die. Those living in sin should not partake of the Lord's Supper of Christ because they've got sin in their life and they're guilty of His death. So it's so important this morning to look into our lives and say, Lord, is there something displeasing in my life? I want you to reflect upon that. I want you to think about that. Something there that I need to confess. You see, we get so in a hurry so many times, we think, well, you know, we're coming to the Lord's table this morning. We've done that before. They'll uncover it in a little bit, and they'll say a prayer, and they'll pass out the bread, and I will get a piece of the bread, and I'll eat it, and, you know, we'll go on our way. If you do it that way, I believe it's wrong. I believe it ought to be a meaningful time in your life where you can reflect upon the death of our Lord and Savior for our sins. I know one thing. I thank God that He's forgiven me. Then He says, you're guilty of condemning ourselves in verse 28 and 29. Look at verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Paul warns him, listen, you examine yourself. Why? Why examine ourselves? Well, Brother Bill said it right this morning. Of course, Brother Bill's always pretty right. He knows those books of the Bible. But you know what? When we're saved, God seals us with His Spirit. In other words, He gives us the Holy Spirit. The moment we say, Lord, I need a Savior, and I want to put my faith in You, the Bible says He seals you with His Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God starts to reveal those things in our life that are unpleasing to Him. In other words, He begins to show you the sins in your life. And I don't know about you now, but He shows me sins in my life. All week long, when I do something wrong, the Holy Spirit says, that was wrong. If I lose my temper or say something out of way to my wife, I have to apologize because the Holy Spirit convicts me that's wrong. When I do something displeasing to someone or whatever it might be, the Holy Spirit is always there convicting me. And you know what? I thank God He's there. I thank God that He says, Booney, you need to get on your knees again, brother. You need to get right. Because that's the way we live from day to day. We have to have His guidance. You know, without His guidance, man, I'd be all lost. You know, if He didn't do that, I would think, well, do I actually have the Holy Spirit in my life? You see, because if He doesn't convict you of sin that's wrong, it's probably because you haven't asked Him to come into your life. He's there to convict us. And if one who does not repent of those sins, we're going to face some serious consequences. You see, the Bible says we need a Savior. Verse 29 says this, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." In other words, the word damnation, oh man, which means to condemn. It's not to doom, it's condemned. If you never trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're already condemned. You see? If you die without Jesus today, you're going to spend an eternity lost. People don't like to hear that. They say, oh, you're judgmental. I didn't write the Bible, God did. It's His word. You know, it's not my opinion. I said this the other night. It's not my opinion. Well, preacher, what do you think? It's not what I think. It's what God thinks. And the world today is dying and going to a place called hell because they won't receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And He says, if you eat and drink unworthily, we drink judgment upon ourselves. Now, folks, He says, some of you are weak and some are dead. Why such consequences? Because we're not discerning what the Lord has done for us. That word discern means to discriminate. The person who comes to the Lord's table unworthily fails to recognize the seriousness of what he or she is doing. Man, I tell you what, we need to teach our children, we need to teach our adults what we really need to do in church and how we're to, you know, I didn't come here to be entertained. I enjoyed the music. I enjoyed the song. But, you know, they're not entertaining us. They're lifting up the name of God. You see, they're praising God. They're getting us ready for the message. They're getting us ready to face God and see what God wants us to say in our life. I have all these people nowadays, they say, well, preacher, you don't allow people to come in with soda water and candy and everything else in the worship center. No, I don't. I think that is displeasing to our Holy Father. You see, I think we ought to keep God's house holy and His word holy. You know, if I want to be entertained, I'll go to the picture show. Man, I come here to learn about God. I come here to study God's word. I come here to praise God and let His Holy Spirit deal with my life this week, that I can be right with Him, that I can go out into the world and I can share the gospel with other people. You see, without that, we're approaching Him in an unworthy manner. You see, all our goodness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. And man, I don't need no more filthy rags. I got enough of them. I need the blood of Jesus Christ within my heart to cleanse me. Oh, I need to recognize that in myself, there's no righteousness. It all belongs to Jesus Christ. And what we do here doesn't lift me up or doesn't lift the choir up or Brother Teddy up or anybody else up. It ought to lift up Jesus Christ. He's the one that can save us from our sins. Now listen, we've committed our life to Him, I hope, this morning. I pray that you've committed your heart and life to Jesus Christ, that you might live for Him today. And you might live for Him this evening. Man, my number one goal is to train our young people how to act in church and to grow in their Christian faith. So let me tell you, this world is getting darker every minute. And if we don't teach them, the old devil's going to come and snatch that away from them. Let me tell you something. I hear people all the time say, well, we don't want to worship on Sunday night. It's just too much going to church. We've got other things to do. I think you ought to drop the other things. Yeah, you know, somebody said if you get your cow in the ditch, you better get it out some other day besides Sunday. Man, I tell you, we need to spend more time with the Master. Did we sing that song, More Like the Master? I heard that somewhere. I got that in Sunday school. Man, we don't sing that. I knew that song. I came from Recklaw Baptist Church. We sing that, More Like the Master I Would Ever Be. Folks, we need that in our life. More consecration to God. We are worthy only when we come in God's righteousness. Now, I want you to think about that. I want you to look back in your life this morning and see, did I ever trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? You know why? I walked down the aisle when I was 8 years old. I shook the pastor's hand. I don't know about this pastor. I loved him to death. I still love him to death. He's dead and gone now. But I don't ask little kids anymore, because he asked me, son, you don't want to die and go to hell, do you? And of course, no little kid wants to die and go to hell. And I said, no. Well, come on over here and sit down and be baptized, then you'll go to heaven. No, that's not right. Man, that doesn't tell me anything about Jesus. And I loved him, and I still do today, and I don't want to be judgmental to him. I know he's in heaven today. But listen, I want you to know that you know that you know Jesus Christ. Somebody said, how many have saved in Vacation Bible School? I said, praise God, we had about four. But you know what? Those four knew what they were doing, I believe, because we discussed it. I just didn't say, you don't want to go to hell, do you? And I said, no. Somebody said, how come you don't get on those little kids? And you know, with little kids, you have to be very careful. You can get them to do anything or say anything. But let me tell you, just getting them to say they want to receive Christ does not save them. They have to openly invite Him into their heart, you see. And we don't want that, because when I was 8 years old, I spent about 15 years after that. Man, and if I'd have died, I'd have been lost, because I never went to really receive Christ in my heart. It wasn't until I was up in my 20s that I was confronted by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit began to convict me. You didn't trust me because you wanted to. You went down that aisle because somebody else went down that aisle. My brother went down that aisle. And I was a follower of him. But let me tell you something. He's in heaven today, and if I'd have been a follower of him, I wouldn't have made it. I had to be a follower of Christ. And when I was in the 20s, I realized that I was still lost. Even though I was a pretty good kid, I was in church. I was leading the RAGA program. I was a Sunday school superintendent. I played the piano for church. But all those things I did in my own righteousness, which was as filthy rags. I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit led me to look back at my life and said, you know, you need a Savior. And praise God, He saved me that day. I stepped out by faith, and I came to Him just as a little child. And I said, Lord, take my life. And He took it, And praise God, he's been using it ever since. All I want to do is tell people how to get to heaven. We are worthy only when we come in the cloak of Christ's righteousness. So this morning, you look backward at your life. Have you really received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? See, adults, it's hard for us. Everybody knows us. Oh, well, preacher, I've been going to church. I don't make any difference. You can go to church all your life. Somebody said you can be baptized, never pond till the frogs know you by name. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, you'll never be saved. Look backward, look inward, and look forward. Look at verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, you know what I'm looking forward to is coming. Till he comes. The difference between us and the lost world, we're looking for Jesus to return at any moment. Man, as I look at the elections and I look at the way the world's going, I look at everything, I'm saying, Lord, would you please come? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come. The lost world, they're not really looking for Jesus Christ to come. I was reading an article this week in the news. They were criticizing Christ. They said he was the biggest ripoff of all the ages. He had made this Bible a big hoax, and people were following it. I just got sick to think. They even called Billy Graham a hoax that's led many people. And I thought, that guy, he doesn't know what he's doing. And I said, Lord, change his attitude. You know, I know that there's Christians out there that are frauds, and there's people that say they're Christians out there that are ripping off people. But folks, let me tell you something. If you are a Christian, you ought to love the lost world and pray for it. Our churches would be full if we would just love people. We sit back in their easy chairs, and we sit back in our easy times, and we really don't do what we say we need to do. Jesus says we ought to serve and proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now, I'm wondering, have you proclaimed him this week to somebody? In other words, have you shared the gospel with somebody this week? Look backward at your life. Look inward and let the Holy Spirit deal with your heart this morning. And then look forward. Look forward till he comes. Share the gospel. That's what he says. I want you to do this as you take the Lord's Supper. Now let me say one other thing. If you're lost, I want you to come. Somebody says, well, you're having the Lord's Supper. I know, but we've got time. I want lost people to come to know Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning, we don't have to be out between. So many churches start at 11 and end up at 12 dull. I want to end up at 12 sharply. Folks, let me tell you something. If you're lost, don't pass up the opportunity to come to the Savior. Maybe the last chance you have. If you're lost and you don't come, don't partake of the Lord's Supper when it's passed by, because you're doing it unworthily. If you're saved and the Holy Spirit has been convicting you of sin in your life, if you don't confess that sin, don't you take it unworthily. Only if you're willing to say, Lord, here's the things in my life that are displeasing. I confess them to you. I want to get my life right with you. And I want to remember and proclaim the Lord's death till you come. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you this morning that as we come to the Lord's table, Lord, we don't hurry. We don't do it dishonorably, but Lord, that we do it worthily. Worthy of a Savior who gave his life on the cross for our sins. And Lord, at this time, Lord, if there's someone here that's lost, there's some sins that need to be confessed, Lord, may we come to the front and confess those right now before we take of the Lord's Supper. We ask it in Jesus' name. Let me